When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 128 of Star Wars and Scotch, fresh off the heels of the Mandalorian finale, me spending the night in urgent care with my daughter on the day before her birthday. And Tim, how was your week?
Hey, Kevin, it was great. Thanks for asking. Holy crap.
Yeah. She fell and hit the coffee table. Her birthday's today. She fell last night and hit the coffee table on her face. You know my coffee table. Mm-hmm. Blood everywhere. Yes. In retrospect, this part's funny. Hunter looked at her and like the blood all over my hands.
Yeah.
And her face and gagged. Oh. Like visibly like a cartoon character. He was like, oh.
Huh.
So I don't think EMT is in his future.
Yeah, so Hunter's not going to be a doctor. Noted.
No. All right. And then once I wiped it off, though, it wasn't as bad. It was just, I think it was how deep the cut was.
Yeah, but now she's going to have an awesome scar, and her and Kyler are going to have the same looking scar now. So
I have it too, and so does Hunter.
Yeah, so apparently it's just a family tradition.
All right, whatever, man. It's all good. Dude. So yeah, but then the craziest part was they took her to, first of all, we cleaned it up. We put a Band-Aid and like compress over it so she would not bleed. And we're calling urgent care to make sure that we don't have to go to the ER.
Sure.
And I turn around and she's dancing to Trolls in front of the TV like 15, 20 minutes after this happened, Tim.
Yeah. Adrenaline's crazy.
This kid's like Lagatha from Vikings. So then she's at the doctor. The doctor is like, because it's right next to the eye. And
yeah.
So she's scared. So they numb her up. And then she just sat there. Mm-hmm. I sent Tim the picture. She's just sitting there with her iPad.
Holding an iPad.
Yeah. And Danielle said the worst thing she did was at one point she went like this, like picked her hand up and like tried to wave them away. And the doctor's like, can you put your hand down? She goes, okay. Danielle's like,
great, dude.
Danielle's like, the doctor's floored. I'm floored. And I sent the picture of Lagatha being like bathed in blood from Vikings to Danielle. I was like, that's our kid.
Yeah.
So she's fine. She's sitting at home. She can't go to school today. The teacher said they'll postpone her in school party till tomorrow, which I thought was very nice. So she's good. Everything's fine.
Happy birthday, Jules.
It's a little bit of a crazy night, but
that's a hell of a way to welcome your fourth year around the sun.
She a freaking battle scar.
That's sick.
She's like, I'm Viking. Hear me roar. So we did that, wrapped up Mandalorian.
Yeah.
GCX, Tim, your GCX announcement, by the time they hear this, will be out today. The one you're really excited for.
Oh, it's happening today?
By the time they hear the podcast, it's going to go out today. Minnie's going to review copy with me after we do the podcast, and it will be.
I'm so excited for this one, dude. Very exciting. Okay, so for all of you that listen, who have just started to trickle into the stream, like, oh, this is so neat. I've been listening to your podcast for years, but this is my first time watching it. Okay, time to get ready for GCX. You've heard us talk about it constantly, year after year. Yep. It's time to show up. All right, GCXevent.com. you want to head over there. You want to get your tickets. We got room blocks available at the Rose and Shingle Creek Resort in Orlando, Florida.
They're August half gone, by the way.
Halfway through our room block, all right? So it's a good time to start thinking about your vacation to Orlando in August. And everyone's like, oh, the humidity, it's going to be hot. Listen here, guys. It's in a resort. It's all inside. It's literally a cruise ship on land. You ever been on a cruise ship? Okay, you might not have ever been on a cruise ship. So let me tell you about a cruise ship. When you get on the cruise ship, you're in a boat. And you, the only time you're ever outside is if you like want to get off the boat when you make, when you dock. You can't. You don't want to get off the boat while you're in the ocean. And then the only other time is when you go out to the pool. And that's it. The rest of the time, you're inside. So it's just like essentially the Rose and Shingle Creek Resort in Orlando, Florida is a cruise ship on land. So head on over to gcxevent.com. Get your tickets. You can come meet me, Kevin, Ben, Goth. See who else is going to be. The Pool Shark's probably going to be there. I know Rexzilla's coming. I could name more and more people. We'll be announcing more people throughout the months. Kevin's just going to tell everybody now. All right, just start telling everyone.
I'm just saying. I mean, all these people say it on their streams anyway. Of course, we're going to make formal announcements.
We announced the G1 official Destiny tournament, which is pretty sick. So more announcements coming. Head on over. Follow us on socials. Follow us on the socials. GCX event everywhere.
.com. And of course, after a rough night, I would not be awake this morning without delicious King's Coast coffee. Because I would not be awake this morning without delicious coffee.
That was, I mean, it was pretty self-explanatory.
Danielle rolled over and she's like, I'll go make the coffee. Like, we slept and we slept hard.
Yeah.
But it's still the morning after, like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So, KingsCoastCoffee.com.
Yeah, let us shake up the way you wake up by putting King's Coast in your cup.
That's the ad.
That's the ad. Yeah, dude, someone came in stream one day and they're like, Tim, do the King's Coast ad. I was like, I don't know what the freaking ad is. Like, the thing you do is like, what do I do? And I forgot that like last year I did all these recordings for ads and then they get put in the beginning of the podcast and stuff. And I was like, oh, I had no idea. So now I do the ad for stream every day.
Yep. Also, real quick before we jump into Star Wars, if you're a hockey fan, you know that the Maple Leafs can't get out of the first round for many years.
Oh, 7-2.
Not only did they start the series off on a bad foot. What was it? Was it 7-2 the final?
It was 7-3 the final. Lightning. Yeah. Dude, I feel like I don't know how they do this every time. I feel so bad for them. They work their asses off to get to the playoffs and then they just shit the bed. It's hilarious every time.
It's hilarious.
I feel so bad.
As our buddy Wayne from King's Coast said last night, no fan base deserves it more. Okay, this is a 7-game series. Anything can happen.
Yeah, it's the first game. That's what I said this morning. I was like, it's the first game, so we'll see what happens.
The Lightning going into it and not being great and then doing that and the Maple Leafs being on fire and then doing that was pretty shocking. But my Islanders lost a nail biter against the Hurricanes, but they play against...
They can come back again tonight, so... You know, I love playoff season, dude. Oh my God. This is the best time for hockey. Like everyone's always talking shit during normal season. I'm like, it's all practice until we get to playoffs, baby.
Ramp it up during the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, we got a few news items. Obviously it's light on news this week because of what we
obviously,
had last week.
There was
celebration.
Nothing left.
So, just a few little quick things. So Andor filming, they're going to be filming, I believe, the article has the dates. This is all from Star Wars News Net. April 12th through April 29th. So they are currently filming there in Windspit Quarry in Purbeck, Dorset in the United Kingdom. This quarry is where they filmed Saw Gerrera's base in season one.
Oh.
So it would lead us all to believe that we're going to get Saw again.
Deception.
Probably not in a small role, in my opinion. What do you think?
I mean, it makes perfect sense. They need to. We have Saw's origin story, of seeing him in Clone Wars, and knowing that he and his people were trained by Jedi and like guerrilla warfare tactics and things like that. But like we never really have like gotten time with Saw. He's always been kind of like this side piece character. It kind of gets sprinkled into different episodes here and there. I feel like he got more time on the animated series than anything else. I think between Clone Wars and Rebels, he shows up a ton. So I would like to really get some intimate time with Saw Gerrera to really like figure it all out with him. So hopefully in Andor, they give him that time, because he's never going to get like his own show, right? You know, he might get like a book. I mean, he might already have a book or a comic book, or like, you know, like a piece of a comic book somewhere. But
we saw him in Rogue One a lot.
We did, but like not really, though. We didn't really get to see Saw. He was a part of it, but really, truly, he was just kind of used to move the story along. You know, we know that he helped train Jin. I was like Din Djarin. Like, that's the wrong name. We know
that Grogu.
You know, hey, spoilers, hold up there. So yeah, we know that he like raises Jin to like a certain point and like teaches her, you know, guerrilla warfare tactics. But other than that, we didn't really get to know him as a person, like where his real, like where all these like insane ideologies come from and all of that. So I would really like, again, really love to like just get to sit down with the character and get to learn more about him, which hopefully we'll get this opportunity with Andor.
We learned how he got his limp in Bad Batch.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a nice
dumbass
Easter egg.
I'm so tired, and that's usually how his character has been portrayed in other animated episodes. Is he's always like the chaotic anti-hero, mm-hmm. where it's like he's not the bad guy, but he's definitely not the good guy. And every time he shows up, he's always messing things up. Like every time, he takes in Rogue One. Not Rogue One. In Rebels, he takes people hostage. He takes a couple of the rebel characters hostage for a bit, messes things up there. He shows up on Geonosis, messes things up there. So I'd like for him to not be the guy who shows up and just causes chaos for a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be a conversation between him and, let's say, Hunter over Tech's death?
Oh, probably. He's definitely to be blamed for that.
Yeah. I have a feeling that'll play into it, where Hunter and I'm going to stick with Hunter because Wrecker just pretty much does whatever Hunter says.
Okay, hold on one second, though. Sorry. Keep going.
Wrecker. I would say, and Omega will probably say something really solemn and something to Saw Gerrera, but obviously to keep with the character, he will be virtually unfazed by it.
Does Cassian know Saw in Rogue One?
I think he knows of Saw. Well, Luthen mentions him, and Luthen goes to visit him in season one. So it would not surprise me if they cross paths at all.
But are we thinking in season two that Cassian and Saw are going to end up meeting?
100%.
So then how do we explain that whole part where they get imprisoned in Rogue One? Wouldn't his people, would they have known Cassian?
Cassian's not in there.
Is he not in the prison? No, he's definitely in the prison cell, isn't he?
I think so.
No?
Let's see.
Who's in the prison cell with them? Yeah, is... No. Shit. No, they're definitely on Jeddah together, because that's where K2 is.
Let's see. I mean, even if not, then.
But no, now I'm really curious. Now I want to go back and watch Rogue One.
I'm literally pulling up Rogue One.
This
right
makes
now.
Me want to watch. This makes me want to watch Rogue One, and because that's where we learn about the mind flare.
Yes, that's the first time we learned.
That's
about
the
it.
First time we see a mind flare, and so like that whole part, I could have sworn he was in the prison with them.
Yeah, even Paul said, I'm pretty sure it's just Jin. All right, so Cassian's in the meeting in the beginning. He's at the Rebel base.
But he's with K2. He tells him to stay at the ship. And then they go to Jeddah together.
Yeah, they're at Jeddah.
Yeah, and then that's when they get imprisoned.
Oh no, you're right. Cassian is in the prison with him.
Yeah. So now I'm really curious.
They might know each other, though. I'd have to go over the dialogue again. They might know each other, though.
They might know each other. But I don't remember how this all works. So now I want to go back and watch Rogue One and see like what they do with the dialogue to make that whole interaction work. I'm very intrigued. That's cool.
Yes, confirmed.
Typical Star Wars storytelling, too. We get the future before we get the past. Yay. I have to try to make it all work.
They'll make it all work.
All right. What's next?
What they do. It's what they do best. This was interesting.
Yeah.
Kathleen Kennedy is quoted.
Oh, God.
Quoted.
Shit.
Saying she wants to bring in more well-known characters and more High Republic all to live action.
Oh, okay.
So it only took about 6 years, but Kathleen's finally hearing what we have been screaming from the top of our lungs about Legends characters.
Okay. First off, have you seen the reports that Kathleen Kennedy could become the new CEO of Disney?
Yes, I don't buy
that. I've seen
a
lot of it.
I think Christine McCarthy is the one gunning for the CEO spot.
Who is she currently?
She is the is it CMO?
Yeah, she's not the CFO. Position?
Christine McCarthy, Disney. She is the CFO. She's the one that led the coup against Bob Chapek.
Oh, that would make... Oh, my God. The perfect villain arc, dude. Oh,
she looks like a Disney villain. Have you seen her?
No. Oh, my God, though. Like, okay. That's amazing. You help me backstab this son of a bitch, and all you have to do is promise me that I get to be CEO. Boom. That's awesome. That is some... That's some evil shit, dude. Wow. Yeah,
that's some Palpatine level 4D chess right there.
Holy shit, that's so evil.
And then if she went down, Iger would have Palpatine like he did in Bad Batch.
Oh, she is an evil looking motherfucker. She's got it's the eyebrows. It's definitely the eyebrow.
Oh, she looks like a Disney villain. Like she looks like she's about to
like Cruella DeVille.
Imprison a Disney princess.
Too.
But yeah, so I don't know about Kathleen. The good thing about Kathleen becoming Disney CEO is that it would leave the Lucasfilm CEO spot vacant.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if Dave would want that job, though. I think Dave just likes being in charge of Star Wars, and I don't think he wants the paperwork that comes with being a CEO, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that one.
Because when you become a CEO, you have to worry about everything, not just the fun things.
Yeah, you don't get to just play around and have a good time.
No, no, no. That's why when everyone's like, oh, man, you have such a cool job. I'm like,
what do you spreadsheets? Mean, Kevin?
QuickBooks.
Oh, he lets the AI do his job. What are you talking about?
I don't let AI do anything when it comes to financial stuff. I do it all myself. I am Thanosing those QuickBooks.
Hold on.
I'll do it myself. What am I waiting for?
Sorry,
what are you doing down there?
I had to grab a cord. Okay.
Oh, okay. He needed a cord chat. Anyway, so Kathleen's quote is, it could be because one of the things we talked about in publishing was how we could begin to incubate certain ideas. And in the case of the High Republic, there's been some wonderful storytelling that's gone on there. It's not necessarily what Leslie Headland is doing with the Acolyte, but it certainly opens up possibilities for us being able to tell stories in that space. So that's specifically for the High Republic, but she mentioned and the phrasing she uses is well-known characters.
Yeah,
to me that screams Legends. That's your Mara Jades, your Kyle Katarns, your Darth Banes, your Darth Revans. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I think this also like hints towards them actually creating something in the Old Republic that actually works, that incorporates a lot of the characters that we know and love, like Revan and Bane and like all these other characters that we...
Now that Acolyte is out, Bane could 100% be a Disney Plus show.
Yeah, for sure.
If they're going to go down that route, why not tell the story of the dude who brought the rule of two into everything? It's a love story, too.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool.
It's a love story. Mm-hmm. So you could frame it in a way that maybe they're not so bad, but then they do bad things, and then the bad things happen to them in the end. And obviously, they'll change it to suit the needs of the current canon, but the framework is all there for you.
Yeah, like Bane's story of wiping everybody out and just leaving just him and his apprentice is a really, really cool story. And then like, you know, I mean, hell, people love Malak and Revan, you know, like why, like absolutely adore those characters still to this day. And they haven't seen the day of light or the light of days in what, 20 years, right? Ish.
Don't you want to see live action Malak without his mask on?
Yeah, dude,
in his whole glorious, bottom jaw.
In his glorious red jumpsuit with his little speaker box sticking out of his throat. I saw that. I saw that that cutscene. It popped up on TikTok. I hadn't seen that cutscene in years when it's Malik on the Star Destroyer. And he's on the bridge.
Cutscene or the one that the person that remade the cutscene?
Oh, no, it's the person who remade Unreal. The cutscene in Unreal. And I was like, holy shit, I haven't seen this cutscene in a long, long time because they just took the original and then just redid it. But yeah, like, I mean, that was so much nostalgia there. It was so cool getting to see that again. But these are characters, very, very important characters that people adore. And it's still to this day, I think, baffles most of the fandom as to why they aren't doing anything with them, just letting them sit there. And then, you know, we were talking about it and you were there. We were talking about the return or the Knights of the Republic video game. You know, mm-hmm. and like that would have been an amazing time for them to usher in all that stuff as canon and, you know, let people relive that. And there's still nothing going on with that. We didn't hear anything about it at Celebration. In my opinion, I think that project's dead.
I do, too.
Yeah, I'm still very worried about the Old Republic because that's a huge chunk. You know, we're already talking about doing stuff before the Old Republic and the beginning, like the Dawn of the Jedi. But we're still not touching the Old Republic. Like, what is going on there?
I don't know. And it's interesting because Disney, well, Lucas still supports Star Wars, The Old Republic, the MMO.
But it's not canon.
It's not canon, but they still support it. They advertise it, you know, and it's making them money. Like,
yeah,
it does well because same thing happens to everybody. Everyone watched Mandalorian. They all resubbed to SWTOR that have been unsubbed. You went and bought the Mandalorian skins for your character.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're playing, you know, Barbie dress up with the Mandalorian armor and the color swatches and all that stuff. So
yeah,
everyone's doing the same thing. And that's what makes the money, why they won't turn it off. But, you know, at some point that cow is going to be just milked absolutely dry.
Oh,
I haven't played it in 6 months. I'm probably less than that, but I've been feeling it. Like the last update.
It's also old. You know, I mean, like turn-based combat is just not as attractive as it used to be.
It's not turn-based, it's tab target.
Oh, tab target combat still isn't as attractive as it used to be. Like you want to feel connected to your character. That's why people love playing Jedi Survivor or Jedi Fallen Order. You know, the idea of really getting to like hold that lightsaber and whip it around and, you know, be that person feels far more greater than, you know, just hitting a button and watching like the auto animation do it for you.
Next week, Tim. Next week,
dude. What, 9 days? It's like,
9 days.
Yeah, 9 days. We're 9 days away from Jedi Survivor, which is going to open up a whole nother can of worms because this is going to be the first time that we actually get to see High Republic integrated with the reign of the Galactic Empire. So like, this is huge. You know, hopefully we get to learn more about the Zepho. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot to unlock there. There's going to be a lot to really digest and figure out. So I'm going to definitely, like, I feel like the first, like when I did Jedi Fallen Order, I was kind of just like, I was just like absorbing all of it. And like this time, I feel like I'm going to be far more critical as far as like trying to really like figure it out. Because I like throughout the years I've become far more interested in all of the finite details of that game. And I missed that the first time because it was really the first time in a long time that we got to experience a Star Wars game of that detail and of that brevity, right? Like, you know, we had Battlefront, but even Battlefront kind of lost its luster after a bit. It kind of gets all washed away with the action of the Battlefield style video game. So like, you know, to have like this open world Star Wars experience, it's kind of like Dark Souls, but there's all these puzzles and allowing you to really like fulfill a lot of Star Wars fantasies. Like that was the first time in a very, very long time. It's like for me, like the last time I remember doing something like that was like Jedi Academy on the Xbox. Mm-hmm. You know, like that was the last time that I really felt like I really owned a character and really like made it my own was Jedi Academy. That was a cool game.
I streamed the when they did the Switch port. I streamed that. It was one of the last games I streamed.
That's
that was
crazy.
Fun. I had a good time. That was a nice.
It's a cool story.
I was about to do Republic Commando after like Avengers and all that wore off, but then I stopped streaming. So I just played Republic Commando myself on my Switch.
Since we're on a Star Wars video game kick, did you know that there? Have you seen the game called? Hold on. I'm gonna think of it. Squad.
Star Wars Squad. No.
Okay. No. It's just called Squad, and then it's on Steam, and people have been making Star Wars mods for it, and there's a Battlefront mod for it. So it's like this intense first person shooter, like it's a milsim, it's a military simulator, but it's all with Star Wars. I was like, I've got to play this. I feel like we should try that sometime.
So it's Battlefront, essentially.
So it's Battlefront. It's modded with Clone Wars.
Okay. Yeah. So it's droids and
yeah. So there's like there's clones. Droids, there's clones, like you know, like you know, the Separatist tanks versus like the Republic tanks and like their dropships for yeah. It's really cool. I saw a TikTok of it. I was like, holy shit, Kevin, I should play this sometime.
Speaking of space games, I tried to play Star Citizen and my computer got really mad at me, so I have to find better settings.
Oh,
it was like.
It was also free weekend, so I'm sure the servers were kind of chuggy.
It was bad. So, and I tried lowering it to low settings because like
actually puts all of the load on your CPU. Like you want to turn it all the way up so that it puts more load on your GPU. We'll talk about it after the show.
Yeah, I need to find optimal settings because it was chugging. But
that's welcome.
I want to play Star Citizen. Yeah, I want to be a scrappy Star Wars esque space dude.
You could be a bounty hunter in that game.
That's my jam right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would love that.
Yep,
to walk into places and be like, "Woo!"
I take you in. I'm just gonna take
freaking Glam text me because we kept saying stuff about Mandalorian being Western last week, and he texts me and he's like, "What about Mandalorian season 3 makes it a Western?" I'm like, "Okay, buddy, we didn't say season 3. We said the whole tone of the show, and we went on back and forth.
That's funny.
It was a very funny conversation." Real quick before we get into Mandalorian, a bunch of comic stuff I picked up on this week that looks really cool. Like, so the end of one of the Dr. Aphra comic series, the Spark Eternal arc is called Shatter, and she has what looks like a Sith blade, which also looks like the blade from Rings of Power. And her eyes are glowing red, and she's hanging out with Vader. So that looks interesting.
Oh, I wonder if she gets possessed.
Another one that I thought... Oh, go ahead.
So that sounds like what happens with... The one bounty hunter in Shadows of the Sith, where she's possessed by the mask.
Oh yeah.
I wonder if Aphra gets possessed by the knife. Oh shit, Dr. Aphra, the book was so good. I should probably go read the comics. I'd probably really enjoy it too.
And then Inferno Squad, is part of the bounty hunter series.
Like from Battlefront Inferno Squadron?
Yes. Yep.
Why?
They're part of the Bounty Hunters series of comics.
I sigh. Why? Because the book was so bad. The book was terrible. Like they were so cool and they get shit on in this book. They were supposed to be like this badass, like. Essentially, they were like the Green Berets. They were the Navy SEALs of the Empire. And like they suck in the book. Like they're just not fun. So hopefully they get a redemption in the comic. But I did not like the book. The book was terrible. It's pretty much, Kevin, like how you feel about Battlescar is how I felt about Inferno Squadron.
Yeah, that book is like rough, dude. I'm poor. I have like an hour and a half left.
It. I didn't like it.
I got bored. Towards the end, there's two chapters where they're just talking on the Mantis.
Ugh. See, this is my problem. This is the same issue that I had with the Inferno Squadron book. They should stop making books to fit the video games. Like, because the people who are writing for the books are not the writers for the video game. So, like, I don't understand, like, why they even, like, allow that to happen. It doesn't feel like it's worth our time. And a bunch of people even came into chat, and they're like, it makes no sense. It wasn't worth my time. So that's frustrating. But I couldn't finish it. I got to that part after the fiery bedroom scene, and I was just like, I'm good. I was hoping it was going to get better, and I got into the next chapter, and I was like, it's just not better.
There is one really good part with the fifth brother.
Oh, shit.
And so if you want to keep going, that part was great. I mean, I'm not spoiling anything. He's on the cover of the damn book. Yeah. But there's one really good part with the fifth brother. That's been the only part of the book I've liked so far. The rest of it I've not enjoyed.
All right.
And it's unfortunate. I'm sure other people are enjoying it, and that's totally fine. Like, enjoy it for what it is. It's just not my cup of tea at all.
Yeah.
And the part with the fifth brother was great. And then the last one I wanted to actually two more I want to touch on. I saw someone commenting on this yesterday. So this is actually how I ended up in this article. Is there's a Return of the Jedi Ewoks comic that people are going nuts over right now about how good it is. Yes.
Oh, it's all about, is it what about Wicket and his friends?
Yes. It looks awesome.
Okay.
And then the final one is Star Wars Celebration had a special crossover event comic called Dark Droids.
What?
Yeah.
Is it like Dark like Droids. With Mr. Bones and all of them?
No, it looks like it's definitely, well, it looks like Luke, but it's like a gold lightsaber. And Dark Droids, a mysterious new threat called the Scourge, corrupts droids, cyborgs, and everything in between, spreading chaos throughout the galaxy. Oh, no, Ajax Sigma, who first appeared in Star Wars Revelations, will play a role in the saga, though his true intentions remain unknown. So this could be older. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, this has Luke with a yellow lightsaber and his gold jacket on.
This might Star be Wars this Ajax Dark Droids. Sigma guy. Let's see. Ajax.
Luke Skywalker raises his lightsaber in a room full of menacing looking droids is what the
oh no, Ajax Sigma's a droid. So yeah, that's Luke.
Yeah. Interesting. And a series of comic book panels showing Darth Vader engaged in lightsaber combat with a droid. Huh. All right. Well, I need to find more time to get into comic books.
That's my thing, is I feel like that's the final frontier for us. We have not conquered the comic books no matter how hard we try.
You know, it's because it's not like, I mean, this would be a great time to plug Audible if they were a sponsor.
It would, Audible.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, it's so much easier to just turn a book on and like actually like you can multitask. Whereas like with a comic, you would really have to commit to sitting down and being in it. So that's the hard part. One day, Kevin, when we retire, we'll be comic book fanatics.
I'm into it.
That's it.
I'm into it. I would like to. I need a hobby, and I'm trying to prep myself for what my like sell Kings Coast, probably just casually streaming hobby is going to be. So comics is definitely on my list, and the other thing is painting Warhammer figures.
He wants to paint miniatures.
I don't want to play the game. I just want to paint them.
Yeah, that would probably be so relaxing. Just put on some like lo-fi and just paint.
And it's not just Warhammer 40K. They have Warhammer Fantasy. They have Lord of the Rings. They have Game of Thrones series. Like, you can go into any universe you want.
I mean, like, we could start you on that path right now. We just get you a resin 3D printer.
I just need space. I don't have space in my house.
See, but I have space for a resin 3D printer. So what we could do is you could come over.
You want to paint together?
We could paint together.
Let's start with the Lord of the Rings one. That's the one that intrigues
me.
We
could do it on stream, and then we'll make money for it, and then we'll end up hating ourselves doing it. And with that, we're going to take a commercial break.
Wait, before we take a commercial break, the point of the hobby is to not stream it, Tim. We have to get things that we don't
stream. Kevin, I don't know how to not stream things that I like.
I know! We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, let's get into it. Mandalorian finale.
Yeah.
Overhead view. This was very cookie cutter.
Very
cookie cutter. No surprises. No nothing.
There wasn't even a post credit. What the hell?
We all hyped ourselves up for like a big plot twist. There was no huge plot twist.
No,
They did set up some cool stuff, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
but everything was the way you would expect it to play out in a story. I'm going to say it for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Everything played out the way it was supposed to. There was no hiccups along the way. There was one, the destruction of the Darksaber.
What the fuck?
So everything played out. Now, on the Darksaber note, let's start with that.
Okay.
One of two things happens here. Either we're going to reconstruct a new version of the Darksaber that's bigger, better. Well, not, you know what I mean? It's not bigger, mm-hmm. but different, but yeah. cooler.
Yeah.
So we can sell more merchandise. Or it was a symbolic destruction of the leader of Mandalore should not be bound to this thing. It should be because you are a true leader of Mandalore.
That was my thought, was the latter. I definitely think that it was a symbolism of the old ways are dead, and this is the new way for Mandalore moving forward. The idea of plants living on the surface, you know, they had no idea that life could exist. The idea of reigniting the forge and the two different houses or the different clans like living together. You know, we saw the Mythosaur again. I think a lot of this is, again, symbolic. It was all symbolisms involving the idea of just the old ways are gone. We are moving forward with Mandalore. It's time to make it our own. But at the same time, they could Lord of the Rings that shit, and they could keep it as a relic. And then at some point, 20 years from now, Grogu heads down there and reforges the Darksaber.
Oh, like Shards of Narsil sitting in Rivendell?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was my other thought.
I need to reforge Darksaber.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you think it'll be
Din Grogu? Right. It's time for you to claim the throne.
So that thought process, we're thinking like the way Kylo has Vader's helmet, and the way Narsil sits in the Rivendell, that it'll be on like display in the throne room or something. And then like 20 years, maybe in Rey's movie, Grogu's got to be like, I need to reforge the Darksaber. Mm-hmm. And then while he's reforging it, because it won't be the same music, all of a sudden you'll hear the orchestra go. Like really light, because they love to play with music in that sense. And then like he'll hold it up and ignite it, and it'll be
da,
like
da, 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 da. Yeah, something like that.
Cool, I'm into it.
Yeah, so that's where my brain went. My brain went either they're gonna hold on to this for you know a rainy day, or it's the breaking of the old.
The fanboys are going to flip about this. I don't really care. I don't really listen to them. I like what I like, and I don't what I don't. And as you heard with Battle Scars, when I don't like something, I will tell you I don't like it. When I think something is cookie cutter, I will tell you it's cookie cutter.
Yeah.
I think the verdict is out on or out on the Darksaber, so we don't know where this is going. So I withhold judgment on the Darksaber being destroyed in this episode. So it's interesting too. With Gideon, let's get into that.
Actually, can I just, I want to make one more point though. And just like now that we're talking about it, I'm really like thinking about this. It is weird though. It is really, really strange that we made the Darksaber such an important piece to this story. Like we open up at the end of season one, Moff Gideon with the Darksaber cutting a hole through his TIE fighter. And the end of season two, you know, the whole idea of, you know, Din, you know, essentially having claimed the throne and Bo and like all this shit. And then how we get through, you know, Boba Fett and how Din is trying to learn how to wield a Darksaber, giving it back to Bo, all this stuff to then we get to the end of the season and they just destroy it. So it's just like from a storytelling perspective, it's really strange to give so much weight to this item to then just destroy it so quickly.
Which is why I feel like it's not the end of the story.
Right. And that's why I think like the Darksaber will come back. And if anything, like the crushing of it made it even more important as a key thing to remember. So that's where I'm like, I'm still torn. I don't think it's going to be gone for forever. I think we will see the Darksaber again. But anyways, Moff Gideon.
So everybody was wrong. Literally everybody was wrong. He was trying to make force sensitive clones of himself, which is just wild.
What a narcissist.
You just opened up a can of freaking worms in the lore when you did that. That one was like,
but isn't that how the dark troopers operated? Didn't they have the ability to use the force to a certain degree? Didn't the high end of the dark trooper program, weren't they capable of using the force? So is it, it wasn't he pulling from, wasn't Dave pulling from EU with that?
If you're unsure how or why they're any worse than stormtroopers or shadow troopers, they can use the force in the events of the tragedy confirm that they are part of Gideon's big plan. So
okay,
it was
so,
part of the experimentation.
So all of this was to make the dark trooper program canon, which was really cool. But at the end of it, it fails inevitably. Like it comes to an end because of Din Djarin, which is kind of cool, but it's really neat to see the escalation of the dark trooper program from season 2 to season 3. But I'm really curious, is this going to get picked up in Ahsoka? Are we going to continue seeing more dark troopers show up? I'm really intrigued, but I thought that was really cool that he was able to, in theory, and we were right. We were right to a certain point when we were talking about how they were trying to get Grogu's like ability to use the force implemented into clones, but we weren't sure where they were going with it. We thought they were making Sith. We thought they were making Palpatine. I thought they were making, you know, like these force soldiers of some sort. So we kind of like ended up in a middle ground.
So yes, the rewinding everything. The final phase of the dark troopers for the exoskeletons could use the force. So keep that in mind. It's not like the V1s or anything, just so people don't go off the rails on that comment. Second, this leads into Snoke, Palpatine, all of that stuff, because right now we know that it is indeed possible. We knew that Snoke was a clone. He had the force, but we thought that was because the Emperor was playing puppeteer in the background.
Right.
This opens up a whole can of Force-sensitive clone. Like, this is a big deal.
Like, the whole Luke Hans situation could actually, like, come to fruition.
All brings the Legends universe into Disney canon, which is important. So,
yeah,
this is great stuff. And I'm sure there were hints to it from other materials, and people are going to send that to us, and that's fine. But this is literally a Disney Plus show saying that clones can be Force-sensitive, which is very, very, very important to the future of the franchise. So, yep. And that's going to play into the events that are leading up to episode 7.
Yeah.
So we're on a very interesting journey and an interesting path now. Now, the other thing I want to ask you is Gideon dead?
Oh, that's another thing that I thought about too, is like, was that actually Moff Gideon that was in the suit that burned up?
Not even that could the suit burn up. It's Beskar alloy.
I know, that's the whole thing. But remember, like, it was imperfect. And a lot of people are actually talking about that too, is that they were thinking that the way that Moff Gideon was forging the Beskar was an imperfect way. So I thought that was a really interesting take, which would make sense, because like the only way you could make perfect Beskar armor would be through the forge. And so however he was forging it was probably
A Mandalorian forgesmith.
Yeah, there's a specific way to make Mandalorian armor, and I'm sure he was not doing it correctly.
Everything he did was half-assed. It was half-assed Beskar alloy. It was a bunch of stormtroopers pretending to be Mandalorians.
Yeah.
You know, the list goes on of him. He valued the culture from what can I get out of this? I want to emulate this, and I want to be this. But he was missing the main part of it, which is the people that make the culture.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, so he did mention that the clones that were in the tubes, he made it sound like they're dead. He's like, you know, you vanquished them before they even were able to take their first breath. So I would assume the ones that were force sensitive, the ones that he was refining to, you know, make able to use the force, they're gone. But who's to say he didn't perfect the normal clone first? So like, that's where I'm kind of like, did he, you know, did he make a perfect version, a clone of himself as backup? I don't know. Like, the possibility is definitely there, but I feel like this was their way of killing off Moff Gideon for good. But I don't know. I'm like 75-25 on this one, Kevin. Like, all right, I feel like he's dead, but I'm not sure. I can't say definitely dead.
I feel like, even if he's dead, that is not the last time we see Giancarlo Esposito playing that character.
I agree.
Whether it's a clone or not in Star Wars. I'm not even saying
we just know that he exists. We know that the possibility is there. Because who's to say that the base on Mandalore wasn't the only base?
We know it wasn't. You know, we saw them on Navarro too.
Well, yeah, those were definitely the imperfect, you know, far from getting there, but he had them elsewhere, you know? So who's to say it wasn't, you know, there isn't more on a Star Destroyer somewhere or another base out there. So we don't know. I mean, it definitely looks like he took his cues from the Emperor in that sense, you know, where he definitely had a lot of hideouts.
I have a feeling that he was taking, obviously we know why he had Dr. Pershing, but mm-hmm. he was probably taking cues from what Hux is doing with Project Necromancer. Mm-hmm. And trying to do it himself, because again, yeah. this is the stereotypical Imperial is like, that's a great idea. If I use that for myself, I can gain more power. And it was also part of his ability to take over the Shadow Council.
Yeah, and they even made note of that when they did like the wrap up leading into this episode. In the beginning, they even said, Moff Gideon says, you are interested in clones, you know? So it's like, he definitely made like a distinction between like my project is far different and far more important than what you are working on. So yeah, now, I would love to see more about what Necromancer is.
Right. And now that we missed this last week, Pelion is Thrawn's right-hand man.
So yeah, I totally forgot about that in the books, and it totally just went right over my head, and I was like, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. And it's been a little bit since I've read the Thrawn books, but then seeing the pictures of like that were already drawn of Pelion, like they freaking nailed it. It makes sense that Pelion is on the Shadow Council.
You also know that the guy that played Brendel Hux is his brother in real life. I thought that was great.
It's his brother, so that's why I remember when we were saying like, yeah, he definitely looked like he could be his dad. It's because they're fucking related.
It's his brother. But the reason I brought up Pelion was because of the conversation the Shadow Council had, and then, you know, him challenging, like, where is Grand Admiral Thrawn? You know, he's not here. We're here. This was his plan to vie and take over the Shadow Council and right. become the new emperor, in my opinion, and basically telling Hux, like, yeah, keep working on your little experiment to revive the emperor. Like, yeah, we'll see what happens. But to Pelion, he was like, he's not around. Like, talk to me type of situation.
Yep.
Now, even if he is alive, one thing that's going to happen is he now lost the base. He got three of the Praetorians killed. So even if he is alive, the Shadow Council is going to be like, okay, bye. Let's divide his little sector up into pieces and let's move on with our lives.
I think that's what's going to happen is the Shadow Council is going to reconvene in Ahsoka. It'll probably be one of the first things in Ahsoka. It'll be a reconvening of the Shadow Council. And then Thrawn steps up. It'll be like they're all meeting, and then he walks in, and it's gonna be like, you know, tell me everything. And they're gonna explain like what happened with Moff Gideon and blah 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 blah.
Be like, Captain Gilead Pelion, get me up to speed on the situation on Mandalore.
He loves his Thrawn impression.
Oh my god, I love Thrawn. He's such a good dog. He's so different. Here. But so much the same from Legends to Canon. He's just Thrawn.
I'm finishing up the last Ascendancy book right now, and I've got like probably like 30 minutes left at the end. And it's got me so excited because we were talking about it on stream yesterday, and everyone's just like, man, this would be like the perfect time for them to introduce the Grisk. And the more and more that like I listen to these books, I'm like, you're fucking right. It would be great. Like, that's going to give us the big, bad, scary thing to be worried about in Star Wars.
You know, when you had said that, one thing I thought of is maybe the Dark Jedi are the ones trying to prevent the Grisk from entering the main part of the story.
No, I think that's like, I think that's where Thrawn comes in.
But maybe he's working with the Dark Jedi, and that's their purpose.
Oh, you think he went and recruited the? Well, I don't know, because Thrawn's been kicking the Chiss's ass or the Grisk's ass. I mean, like he had 15 Chiss warships and destroyed. What, 19 Grisk ships, you know, and they were all like big battle cruiser like class ships. And so like, I mean, he does pretty well, but he has also never gone against like the entire armada. He's always gone against like, you know, a small cluster of ships. So I feel like what's going to happen is the entire Grisk armada is going to start moving in on galactic space, and Thrawn's going to be like, I've got to stop this shit. But I could be completely wrong. We could just go completely heir to the Empire. And that's why I've got to start reading this book, because apparently there's a lot there that they could really pull from. So
we got till August. Even if Moff Gideon is dead, there's a chance that there's a clone of him somewhere out there that has very similar ambitions. So we'll see where that part of the story goes. Also, Grogu laughing while he was fighting the Praetorians. I love that in the
caption. It was just laughing.
Yeah, if you have keep your captions on, Grogu's laughing while he's fighting the Praetorians. Like, this is fun.
Yeah, just like a toddler.
Whee! So the new meta of the two of them is going to be them teaming up on people the way they did, where Grogu was using the Force and Din was doing his job. And it was working out real, real well for them. They were kicking ass and taking names.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was so good. And then at the end with Captain Teeva, obviously we got IG-11 back to be the new Marshal of Navarro.
Which was so awesome.
But more importantly now, you know, it's the sequel to the video game where now it seems like somebody's going to be hunting each member of the Shadow Council individually. And that someone looks like it's going to be Din Djarin and Din Grogu.
I love the way since we're jumping around, but the way they ended the episode with that transition, where it was a circle and it just like locked mm-hmm. in on Grogu and Din Djarin. It was like a happy ending, like the way that they just closed it all up. It was a nice little tie of the bow. Like there
I think
you
we're
go.
Not used to happy endings. And
we
the
are
conclusion
not
of a season at the conclusion of a season with a show. We know that's not over. We're not mm-hmm. used to a happy ending. We're used to a cliffhanger. We're used to like having to live with despair. We've been very conditioned by shows like Game of Thrones that when a season ends, you have to wait 18 months to get any sort of resolution, but they also introduce a litany of new problems. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of that is what played out in this. And it was very shocking to see, like, that's it. There's no after credits scene. Wait, what? They're going to do that until we pick up with them next season? Like, no, come on. I'm not used to this. That's how mm-hmm. I felt.
Well, there was so, like, I think that was their way of saying, like, hey, like, this story is going to be on pause for a bit. Because yeah. now we've got like Ahsoka and like all this other stuff going on.
We have so, other stories
just,
you want to
it
talk.
It was perfect. I thought it was great. But yeah, I really like how they kind of like all brought it back to Navarro. Really like this, like you said, like they did a great way, like they video gamed it. Like it was just, it was awesome. Like everything just like worked out really, really well.
Even Gideon talking during the fight sounded like a final boss.
It did. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Like the way he was talking through his communicator and the helmet and everything, yeah. it was like, I feel like I'm in a room, a boss arena, because that's what it looked like.
It definitely played out like that. Even the fighting shit happening a boss. In the background was just like, just enough.
And like there was phases to the fight, like, oh, yeah. here come the damn Praetorians. Like it was just here's like, the and then you phase. Get, you know, phase three is Bo and you. Like it's. It was a game.
It was good. So, like, I mean, like, we've been saying that about Mandalorian since the beginning. It's like it feels like a video game. Yeah. And they did a great job of us finally getting to fight the final boss. Even the way he looks, right? Even that black Beskar with like the horns on his helmet and everything. Like that was definitely the big boss fight that we've been waiting for a long time. But I loved how they really leaned more into Grogu having control of the Force and being able to use it and not getting like tired. You know, remember when he would just like levitated the mudhorn, or like he tried to block the fire for Din Djarin the first time. Mm-hmm. He's really tired. But then we learned that he stayed with Luke for 2 years and he got to really harness his powers. And so being able to see him just like move things around so effortlessly and helping Mando like kick Moff Gideon's ass and then blocking the explosion from a actual like a freaking Corvette flying through a hole, which I thought was awesome. I was like, I thought that was the best way to bring it back is use Moff Gideon's ship to kill Moff Gideon.
I thought
it was great.
Max Wolves was going Grand Admiral Holdo there for a second.
You thought he was gonna just suicide right in there?
I thought
it
he
looked
was,
like it, right?
We lost Paz in the last episode, so I was uh-huh. like, oh, you know, equal parts, like each yeah. side is going to give someone, mm-hmm. but Axe was like, bang,
yeah,
out the window.
Right out the window. Was like, it yeah. was so good. Yeah. But I mean, like he just like a needle right through a string right through the eye of a needle, just weave that thing right in there. And, it was very poetic. Very, very poetic.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then seeing them like the Great Forge was just incredible again.
Yeah, it was good.
And then Grogu's sensitivity to the Mythosaur, I found very interesting.
That was interesting, right? Yeah, I thought that was really, really interesting that both Bo and Grogu seem to have some type of connection with the Mythosaur of some sort. Don't know what it is.
So with something Grogu, there. With Grogu, I think Grogu's got a little bit of a Beastmaster Jedi power in him.
Well, that's, I mean, so I think all Jedi are able to do that.
Able to, but there are Jedis that specialize in being Beastmasters.
Well, yeah, it's like Ezra. It's like Ezra. So in with Ezra, like he was able to communicate with animals. Right. Ahsoka can talk to that bird. Who's the one kid in the High Republic who has Ember?
I forget his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Rey with that lizard, the snake thing. Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, there's many, many instances of Jedi being able to commune with animals. I don't know if they've really leaned into the whole, like, yeah, you've got like these wildling like Jedi that are Beastmasters. I don't know if we've really gone into that in canon. Because it feels like everybody, like anyone that's force sensitive are able to like just like have the
ability. Yeah, you can go into a living being's mind. It's essentially a Jedi mind trick-esque thing, yeah. But there are the specialized, so I don't know. He's just striking me as someone that seems to be communing.
But he also eats frogs, Kevin, so I don't know. That'd be kind of fucked up.
Didn't eat the frog at the end.
We don't know. He was floating it.
No, he dropped it.
Maybe he's playing with his toys.
It could be.
You know, it's like it's a toy and it's snacks.
I just found that whole Mythosaur part very interesting.
I agree with you. I thought that was
the end of the Mythosaur.
Okay, so here's the thing. There was an interview with Dave, and the guy was like ultra nerd and asked about Grogu being a Jedi and also being Mandalorian, and if that has any tie-in with Tar Vizsla, and they kind of like skirted around that. And so again, back to the whole Darksaber being reforged, Grogu having some type of connection with the Mythosaur. What if he becomes Mandalore? It's a really good setup, and you could hold on to that card for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring it back to, you know, with Rey, you know, in this new movie, or even at, you know, however Dave Filoni's gonna bring it all together at the end with his movie, that could be it.
Yeah, could be it.
I don't
know.
Did
you get all mushy inside when Din adopted Grogu? I did too.
I got a little like, oh, I didn't cry. Like, there wasn't tears, but it was like, oh, did Grogu? That's
they
so
were
cute.
They were there, like on the there, cusp, but they went back.
It didn't happen. Yeah. Okay, all right. No tears actually shed from these eyes. All right, but I felt it. Like that was just like that was again. It was the perfect wrap up. It was a great way to just tie a bow on this 3-season package because we don't know what's gonna happen next. But this is done. This whole the whole Din Grogu. Darksaber, reclaiming Mandalore, all that stuff, that's done. Now, whatever happens next, no idea. But I think and you can get that from everything. Like the way that, like, you know, he adopts Grogu as his son, even though, like, for the longest time, people were like, oh, your kid, this is your, like, you're like his dad. And he's never actually claimed him as his son until that very moment, which was huge. The other part, again, was the ending scene of Nevarro where they have the little shack. And Mando sitting on the porch watching his kid play, like that again is another way to signify that everything's good. They are chill, things are fine. We don't have to worry about them anymore. So I think that is like it was just a perfect episode. It was great.
Yep. So I think the next season will lean very into Din hunting the Shadow Council one by one, and then we'll get more into the rebuilding of Mandalore and Mandalorian politics because I have a feeling. Dave's goal is to loop the Mandalorians back into the main story by the time Rey's movie comes out.
I mean, probably. Yeah. I mean, like, this is a great way to.
They have a lot
them.
Of rebuilding to do. They still got to go out and, you know, gather more tribes. Sabine's probably going to get introduced into the mix in Ahsoka. Like, I have every confidence Bo is showing up in Ahsoka now.
I don't know. I feel like they're going to.
If it's happening at the same time, you don't think Sabine is going to get word of this and all and whatnot?
I think
like
Sabine.
My people
no. I think from a storytelling perspective, though, you start adding too much in, it starts to water it all down, and so like that's why I because of how they ended this season, I have a hard time believing that we're going to get more crossovers from Mando or Book of Boba. Like, I feel like Ahsoka is going to have so much going on that they're just going to keep it from everything else for right now. That's just where I see it going. I feel like if they take Sabine and they introduce her into this story and it's all about finding Ezra and Thrawn and these dark Jedi, and then all of a sudden you just like side quest off to Mandalore. I'm not sure. No idea. Because I feel like they're working so hard on just rebuilding it. They've gotten rid of the threat. The imminent threat is gone, so they don't have to worry about being attacked. So there's really nothing going on for Mandalore other than to just rebuild, right? Unless you think they're just going to keep on going out and like fighting off the Empire, but I think they're going to try to lay low.
I think they're going to try to lay low, but they do have to recruit all of the other nomads that are out scattered across the galaxy.
There was a lot of Mandalorians that were already in there.
I mean, not a planet's worth. Not even a city's worth.
Not at all. No, I mean, there's going to have to be some repopulating, you know?
Yeah, and then with that happening, you're also going to run into... Now they're going to start their little squabbling fights again.
Yeah, I think they're just going to save that for the next season of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen in Ahsoka, but I'm also saying Sabine being a Mandalorian will play into what's happening in all of this, which is why I
agree with you on that. I have a hard time believing that we're going to see it immediately going into the next show.
To be Bo on a holo communicator, like being like, Sabine, we've taken back Mandalore, like bring your clan, something like that too.
Maybe. We'll see.
I don't think it'll be the main focus, but to not acknowledge it, I think would be a little silly, especially if they're going the route of introducing Grand Admiral Thrawn to the Shadow Council. You'd be missing a very huge chunk of Sabine and of who Sabine is.
I guess so. But I guess you would know that from Rebels.
Right, but not everyone's seen Rebels.
Right, but in Rebels, they don't really lean into her being Mandalorian other than the armor. Like, really.
She doesn't want to be Mandalorian, but exactly. Then we go back to Mandalore and all that stuff.
I still don't think that she really cares that she's I don't think she claims it. She's not as proud. Like,
but her mother is still alive.
Yeah.
So if her mother's still alive, we don't know.
She didn't really care about her mom, though.
By the end of this, Rebels, she cared about her family. She did, especially when her brother died.
I'm thinking about just like when we see her on Mandalore for the first time. Like, she was a grumpy teenager. So, yeah. I don't know.
But the whole arc with her and the Darksaber and it, like,
yeah,
that'll come into play.
Yeah, by the end, she realizes she made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, she was
But she was never really big on like claiming that she was a Mandalorian.
Right, but okay, look at it this way, Tim. If we lost everything,
hold on, one second. I just remembered. There's a scene from Celebration. There's a scene of Sabine holding a lightsaber too.
It's Ezra's though, I thought.
Yeah, but she's holding. I wonder if she's like. Do you think she held on to his lightsaber?
Yeah.
Do you think she's been using it? There's this weird thought that Sabine could potentially be Jedi.
I don't think so. I think she's using Ezra's lightsaber.
Anyways, I just saw that it was floating around the internet. Never mind.
Yeah, I think she's
I just had to get that out there.
I think she's just using Ezra's lightsaber. It's a very handy tool, too.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's like a Swiss Army knife of Star Wars.
You can flash. You can flash seer things with it, mm-hmm. like meat.
Yep.
You can cut doors.
Yep.
You can do a lot with it.
It's got a blaster on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Boom, boom.
<It's> stupid.
So, yeah. I mean, that, again, very cookie cutter. A great episode.
Were you expecting
episode.
More for this?
I was expecting a plot twist.
Me too.
Especially with the armor. But yeah. Once they stopped focusing on her at all, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's not happening. She's
hanging
out with us.
We definitely set ourselves up. And not like you and I. We as like the Star Wars fandom, the internet, because the amount of like just going back and forth that everybody had about like, who's the spy? Like, everyone was like, we knew about this one spy, but who's the other one? I saw one theory last night where someone was going through the opening cinematic for Star Wars, where it's like the bus and the like a metallic bus and the light goes over it from the lightsaber. Din's light changed to red, and everyone, and then so this guy is trying to lead this whole charge on Din was the actual bad guy all along. It was wild. I had to do a stretch after that because I didn't want to pull a hamstring. But yeah, like people were going nuts. People just assumed that there was no way in hell that we could have closure.
There was a piece of me that felt like it might die and that Grogu would move to Bo. And that she would become the Mandalorian. But it was a very small, like, it wasn't big. I was just like, okay.
That would have been so heartbreaking.
I know. But
oh my God.
That's not how it played out, so.
I do love the three of them together, though. Like, they're a perfect family.
Of course.
God, I want them to be together. So, do you know that? So, what's funny, though, is Kyler calls Din, Jaren, he calls him Bo's dad. He goes, where's Bo-Katan's dad? I'm like, who? I'm like, Mando. I'm like, oh. But, man. Oh, so the only Easter egg that I caught for this episode was Dave Filoni again in the bar. Did you see anything else that was worth noting?
No, I was looking for Zeb and saw Dave's hat.
He wore that last time, too, but he's got the cowboy hat on. It actually looked like Bounty Hunter cowboy hat.
Cad Bane.
It looks like Cad Bane's cowboy hat.
Maybe it's the same hat. Maybe he could be like modeled it after his hat or something. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, that was pretty much it. I did like the fake out by the Mandalorians. One thing I have a question, though. Where'd all the TIE fighters go?
They're blown up.
All of them were blown up by Axe manning one gun. That thing, that ship was getting wrecked, dude.
He had auto turrets on.
He was aiming.
No, he turned them on auto. There was like six or seven batteries. Ah, he totally killed them all. They're all dead. They died. All right. Even if they didn't die, they're short range. They're short range and their base is destroyed. So unless someone comes and pick their asses up, they're floating in space. Nothing to worry about.
Okay.
And all the TIE interceptors, those are gone and those are expensive. I mean, like Moff Gideon cost the Empire a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money. He built an entire base, a Praetorian, a squad of Praetorians. Three. He lost all those interceptors, all those bombers.
And
all of
the
Mandalorian soldiers that he made, all of that Beskar armor.
The shit, well, they can salvage it now and use it for their own purposes.
Almost definitely.
The ship that he lost in season two is also was used against him to destroy the base.
Used as a weapon.
He's not exactly batting 1,000 these days. So.
Also, it would be in our worst interest to not recognize the hero of this episode. Yet again, R5-D4 coming in hot.
Oh, God, we forgot to talk about R5 once again.
I mean, R5-D4 is
racking up.
Kyler and I were having a great time with the mouse droids. Like, that was hilarious. That was so good.
I thought they were going to come back with troopers, and that was like,
no,
R5's
just more mouse droids,
death.
Which was great. And I thought it was great because the mouse droids, they never get any like screen time. They usually are just like the one thing that pops up and then they get scared and run off. But like this thing came back with the Force. Also, they have lights on top. No idea that they could do that. I thought that was so cool.
I thought he went to go get stormtroopers or something.
No, they're like annoying hall monitors. I love it.
Yeah, they're just ramming.
Stop.
And then he flew away.
Yeah, but R5 is Mandalorian's R2-D2.
Are you happy we got rid of IG-12 as Grogu's mechanism for moving? I think that was literally just used as a device to move him around the base quicker.
No, most definitely, because he's got tiny little legs and he couldn't be in his little pod. So for them to have IG-11, if they would have had him as the sidekick, as the R5, he would have been too overpowered. Like, that's the issue, is that he's so OP. You know, the ability for him to just like spin around in circles and do like a spin to win move. Like, that's silly. He would just wreck everybody. So for him to be an exosuit, a Gundam for Grogu was fantastic. And like we've mentioned multiple times, like you brought up, it's a mobility tool. For them to bring him back at the end, I'm really happy that they did, because like they leaned so heavy into that at the beginning, and then we get blue balled and like, no, we're like, oh, come on, he's so cool. And then now him being the official good guy of Navarro is just mwah, chef kiss.
And Captain Teeva did call him a hero of the Republic. So he just proved himself again.
Yep.
I'm also interested in see how that arrangement works with Tiva, and obviously we'll see him again, which is awesome because I love that actor. Have you ever watched his other show? I forget what it's called. It's on Netflix, where he plays the Korean grocery store owner.
No,
in Canada, it's very. Oh, what is it called?
I'll have to check it out.
Hong Sung Lee. What's his show called? Oh, this is gonna bother me. Where's IMDb? It's called Kim's Convenience.
All right, I'll go check it out.
Yeah, it's. I've watched like the first season of it. It's very funny.
All right, if I don't like it, it's your fault.
Yeah, you'll like it. So deal with that.
All right,
put it in your chat. But that's it. I don't think there's much else to talk about. We touched on our five. Again, great episode.
Good episode. It was just a lot of action. It was a great way to close it all up.
But one of. You know, again, it was very cookie cutter by the book. This is how you end a story in a positive manner, and everyone cheers. And you know, even though we were looking for a plot twist or someone to die or something, none of it happened. So the only thing we lost was the Darksaber,
which I don't think it's actually gone.
I don't think so either. I think your theory about it being reforged is right. Whether it gets reforged right away next season or it's like Rey's movie, we'll see. It's an it'll be there. They also did a hard shot on it.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It wasn't like it just got destroyed. It was like, bam, like it's still together. It's just a little broken type.
Yeah.
Of
I mean, like that's a videography tool in storytelling for you to focus in on an item to make sure that you understand what had happened to said item instead of it just being mentioned. And so like whenever something gets zoomed in and it takes up the entire screen like that, it's making sure the audience understands that this is what's going on. Like this happened to it. And so like that's why I still really think like they could Lord of the Rings this thing and Grogu could be the Aragorn of Star Wars and he could come back with it, because I feel like they want you to understand that it's not just something that got crushed and just chucked to the side, right? It was crushed and it was laid there and we zoomed in on it. It had a moment to breathe. So I think that's really, really important and something to really think about.
There we go. Also for Kim's Convenience, by the way, it's Paul Sun-Hyung Lee and Simu Liu. Shang-Chi is in it too.
Oh, sick. That's awesome. Oh, that's fantastic. We'll have to check it out.
Enjoy. No episode next week. Tim and I are going to take a week off. Tim is going to be playing Survivor next Friday. Oh, so make sure you go to his Facebook channel, facebook.com/darkness429. Mm-hmm. Again, facebook.com/darkness429 next Friday, 9 a.m. Is that safe to tell everyone? 9 a.m. Friday?
9 a.m. Mm-hmm.
9 a.m. next Friday. Tim is going to be playing Survivor live on stream. I will be at Disney World for my daughter's birthday. So we're just going to take a week to take a breather, and then we'll be back the following week. We're going to start bringing guests back on the show. Yes. So I have a few lines out. We'll start letting you know. We'll post on Twitter when we're bringing guests on. But next week we're off. I repeat, next week we are taking the week off. So go to facebook.com/darkness429, not just next Friday, just every day go there. I hang out in there. I like to rile his chat up. It's a great time. So come see the shenanigans that we all get into at facebook.com/darkness429 and darkness429 everywhere else on the internet. If you want to follow me, it's KevinXVision on Twitter, KMagic101 on Instagram, and Star Wars and Scotch all over the place. For Star Wars Scotch or Star Wars and Scotch, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Go say hello and come hang out with us. Obviously, when you rate, review, subscribe on Spotify or whatever podcast platform you listen to it on, it helps us so much. And also thank you to all the new folks that found us over the course of this 8-week Mandalorian run. Thousands of you that have tuned in and have stopped by Tim's channel and whatnot. So we really appreciate meeting all you new folks. We hope you keep coming back to enjoy more. But if you don't, we hope we see you again for Ahsoka. Like, hey, maybe Star Wars small talk isn't your thing and you're just here for the big stuff. Come back for Ahsoka. We'll be here. So with that being said, we will see you in 2 weeks. Again, 2 weeks. So you won't see us again until May 3rd. May 3rd, Star Wars and Scotch returns. Taking a week off. We will see you May 3rd. But until then, Tim.
May the Force be with you.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.